Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And howdy, good morning, one and all. Melissa Sargent, are you here?
I am here.
You have survived the week and you've returned.
Oh, my gosh, I'll tell you. We had over 81 people from out of all over Texas, from the TxDOT Travel Centers and visitors.
They stayed at your house?
Yeah, I think so. I told them they could all come and stay at my house. I had a really big backyard. Now, they were from all over Texas, and they were here visiting El Paso for their state convention from the TxDOT Travel Centers programs. But they were visitors and convention bureaus and the TxDOT Travel Centers, and they were an amazing group, and they were all tickled with what El Paso has to offer in tourist destinations.
Are they still in town listening by any chance?
No, they're heading up. But you know, a lot of them...
So we can talk about them?
No, because they are listening to the show. They were really tickled about what we did with our history show. They said they'd never heard anything like that. So they're excited, and hopefully everybody out there is listening today.
We are unusual in Texas Texas history begins in El Paso.
That's right.
And the God said, you need a radio show. So here we are.
There we are.
And I'm in my 18th year of doing this. You're learning about six or seven
God
or eight somewhere
what,
in there.
Something like that.
And so, you know, we do that because the history is important here. And it really is. And today's going to be no exception.
It's fun.
Well, it is fun because I was telling people earlier that we grew up here and we're not taught our history.
That's right.
And so we're out to change that, one radio show at a time. But also, Texas history does begin here, and they can find us on 690, obviously, AM.
Yes, KTSMradio.com, and they can also go to the iHeartRadio.com station, link on, I can't even think
of this.
They made me mesh today. And they can go to iHeartRadio, and they can also click and find KTSM Radio and listen to us live all over Texas and the planet.
How many people did you say had already seen us on the Facebook page? I had about 5,000.
5,562 people had already checked on it.
So when we put up this promo, that's how many people have taken a look at it. And we don't. And that's just Facebook.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean they necessarily clicked or liked on it. It could be people just seeing the page and didn't even respond to it. Yeah.
But we're going to deal with that as though it's a positive. Hey, we got trivia today?
Yes, we do. We got
DVDs.
Trivia for $20 in food from Pepe's and Canyotillo's. Okay, I didn't fold that up, but we've got all kinds of wonderful El Paso Gold DVDs, like historic sites and markers. We have Tom Lee's El Paso Gold, the Ghost Stories 1, 2, 3, and 4.
All four of them in there.
Yes, you do. You have Gunfights of the Old West. We have, oh my gosh, the mountains. You name it. We got it all here today.
Waco Tanks. That's all the good stuff. All right, we'll give that away if you win the trivia prize. The trivia prize is about our subject today. And our subject today, by the way, we have an author who wrote a book. And we're going to have a book signing today at Pepe's.
Yes.
So if you're interested in what we're talking about today, come out and meet a young gentleman by the name of Dave Gutierrez. Good morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, welcome here. Thank you for doing the history you've done. And you're not even an El Pasoan, are you, right now?
No.
Were you at one time an El Pasoan?
No.
So you've always been an out-of-towner, but you're doing El Paso history.
That's right.
All right, the name of the book that he has written is called Patriots from the Barrio, and the Barrio is primarily South El Paso.
South El Paso, that's right.
And now there were some soldiers in that unit, and this is a unit that was all Mexican-American. Tell us how it got formed before the war, then what happened when the war hit the fan. And also, by the way, I want to introduce another fellow who is in here this morning, and that would be Albert Rivas. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning.
Now, you had family members who were in this Company E we're referring to as the unit.
That would be my father.
Your father
Alex
was in
Rivas.
Alex Rivas. And also, if he's listening out there on the phone, we're looking for Mark Salazar. Hey, Mark, what are you doing? Show up. But if Mark is another one that we expect this hour to talk about.
Correct.
This as well.
Mark's father was Gabriel Salazar, and he actually did communications as part of Company E.
Was he also a cook at some point?
I believe so, yes.
So I remember he was cooking something and got blown up. You have to tell us some of these stories.
Sure.
But this is a tough part of history, because we're talking about a group of U.S. soldiers who were only Mexican-American from the Barrios. Now, there were some from Del Rio, those areas also in this unit or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Included my cousin Ramon Gutierrez, who was from Del Rio, Texas.
And that's how you got onto this?
That's how I got onto this. I was looking to put his story together.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty much put his biography together. And, well, Ramon had been captured twice by the German army, had become one of a few Americans to be decorated for valor on the battlefield by the Soviet Union during World War II.
You talk about when this was all over.
Yes.
All right, going into it.
Yeah.
How did this unit form? It was the National Guard or what?
Yes, it was the National Guard unit out of El Paso. There was two National Guard units, Company H and Company E. Company E was composed entirely of Mexican Americans from the barrios of El Paso.
Was it basically conducted in Spanish?
No, well, the officers did speak a little Spanish.
Well,
so all the officers were Anglo.
Okay.
Yeah.
But every enlisted man of Company E was of Mexican American descent.
Yeah, because John L. Chapin or Captain Chapin was from El Paso also.
He ended up being the commander.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about how he got a high school named after him here in El Paso.
We'll talk about it later.
Well, take the story further, because you had this unit prior to World War II, and then when World War II hit the fan, how did these guys turn into U.S. Army?
Well, actually, the unit, Company E, 141st Infantry Regiment of the 36th Division, was actually federalized in November of 1940. A lot of these guys were from Bowie High School, El Paso High, had joined the National Guard as early as 1939. And Albert's father had been there for quite some time and had been actually a sergeant by this time.
So he was an already in kind of lifer-looking guy.
Right.
Compared to these new recruits and National Guard guys who hadn't really served in any kind of combat or anything.
In November of 1940, when the unit was federalized, they had moved over to Camp Bowie. And by January of 1941 is when my cousin Ramon, who came from the San Felipe barrio of Del Rio, Texas, and many of the men from Uvalde and South Texas in that area, joined the National Guard, and they were placed into Company E.
Why?
Well, they were Mexican Americans.
So it was a racial ethnic thing.
Kind of a segregated.
They were pretty much segregated.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, when they moved to Camp Bowie, the unit, the 36th Division, had pulled other Mexican Americans from the other units, San Antonio and the Dallas.
You'll
area.
Be happier here.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
So they all were placed into Company E. But what that actually did is they pulled veterans who had been with the National Guard into Company E, which made Company E excel on on the battlefield.
You had the good guys already knowing how to do this.
They weren't amateurs.
Right.
Something I want to go back to, though, is the nickname that your cousin had, which was the mosquito, right?
Yes. His nickname in Del Rio was El Zancudo.
Which I think probably was one of the reasons he did so well, which we'll talk about later on in his why he received so many medals. I think it had a lot to do with it.
Well, he was a very athletic guy.
Yeah.
So
you had this unit in El Paso formed of Mexican-American people from all over Texas, basically. Some New Mexico?
Mostly all of them from Texas.
Okay, so you had these Texans ready to do something, and this is in January, February 41. By December,
right,
when it hit the fan, then what happened?
Well, they went on to training at Camp Landing, Florida, and then they moved to Camp Edwards in Massachusetts. They were continually trained. Now, before they moved to Camp Edwards, Albert's father, Alex, here, was actually pulled from the unit. Alex was such an exceptional soldier, and he pretty much scored high on all of their tests and so forth. They actually pulled him out of the unit to become an instructor at Camp Meade.
Alex, so, did your father talk about this much?
No, he really didn't say much, like to sit down formally and tell me stories, but there were always a little anecdote that might come across every now and then about his experiences in the Army.
So did you ultimately get his story out of him somehow?
No, unfortunately not really. Just through these little anecdotes, we'd be at a World War II museum one time, for example, in San Francisco, and on Treasure Island, And he sees this 60-millimeter mortar that they had on display, and he said, yeah, I used to instruct in that one. And even though it's a museum and probably not supposed to touch, he started, you know, manipulating all the traverses.
He got a couple of rounds. I could take out that bus. Yeah.
He was instructing me on how to use it. But, you know, it was that sort of thing happened every now and then. But, no, I never, like, sat down with him and tried to get his story. Other historians did that.
Well, the thing is, and he was also Albert.
Alex.
I'm sorry.
Alex P. Revis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong. I apologize. I do have the wrong faces and places. But you had to write his story from other people's accounts, didn't you, Dave Gutierrez?
Pretty much. And a lot of these men really didn't talk about their experiences openly. Now, when they got together, and this is something that they did, these men, after the war, continued to serve their community, and they held dances and fundraisers, so they always got together.
So the whole group, how many came home?
Well, there was quite a few that still made it back home, but a lot of them spent time as POWs.
Oh.
And we'll get into the story of the Rapido River.
Well, why don't we just take it from where they were trained and then they were shipped off? What happened next?
Sure.
I mean, either one of you.
They were at Camp Edwards. And actually, at Camp Edwards, they became one of the first units to train in what the U.S. Army was now calling Ranger training. And they were being trained by British commandos. There was a British commando that the U.S. Army had brought over at Camp Edwards, and they put the units through what the U.S. Army was now calling Ranger training. So they completed their training. And in April of 1943, they were deployed to North Africa. They continued training in North Africa. They were kept out of the Sicily operation, the 36th Division. And at this point, they were assigned to the 5th Army under Mark Clark. Mark Clark had become the officer in charge of the 5th Army. They actually spearheaded the Allied landing at Salerno on September 9th, 1943.
Retaking the Europe.
Right. They became the first American unit to set foot on what Hitler called his Fortress Europe. So on the European continent itself, they became the first. They were actually part of the first D-Day at Salerno.
Wow. If you set foot on there, you get your toes shot off. Some of that happened, right?
Absolutely. Right prior to the Salerno invasion, the actual day before, there was an announcement on their ship that Italy had surrendered. So here they are, hours before they were about to invade Italy, and Italy had surrendered. So the euphoria went over across the boat, across the ship, that, we're going to be in Naples pretty soon having some
wine. That was pretty
right?
Easy.
Wine and cheese and women, yay.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
Let's go do another one.
Yeah, well,
France doing?
There you go.
The German army had other ideas, and they had fortified their defensive positions on the beachhead, and it was a fight at Salerno.
I'll bet. Describe some of it.
Well, at Salerno, they were one of the first units to hit the beaches, so artillery was not out there. These men of Company E had to fight off German tanks, German Mark IV tanks, with pure infantry weapons.
How'd that work?
Well, it didn't work very well at the beginning.
No.
And actually, at Salerno is when my cousin would be later awarded the Silver Star for his actions at Salerno. A couple of the men were killed in action right there in his platoon as they came across 5 German tanks. And Ramon actually charged a machine gun nest. He had a BAR that he was carrying shot out of his arm. He continued to charge the machine gun nest and silenced it with hand grenades and killed the last German soldier in hand-to-hand combat.
And that's the beginning of what happened in the combat in this book. The book is Patriots from the Barrio. The Barrio is South El Paso.
That's right.
And you were down there touring some of these people this week. Did you see this monument down there?
No. We were going to the McGoffin home, but we were going. Yeah, our bus driver was kind of going all over the place.
Apparently, the city of El Paso wants to move the monument to Company E that's in South El Paso more up toward the museum. We'll find out if that's a good idea. That's not the focus of today's discussion.
No,
but it is these
time.
Same men
yes.
we're referring to that did this incredible battle. And it's the story of Company E, the 141st Infantry, the only all-Mexican-American army unit in World War II.
An amazing
Very
story.
Unusual. And we'll find out why Dave Gutierrez got a bug under his saddle to go deal with this, because you were watching a TV show, and these people were omitted, as I recall. Ah, we'll hear about that a bit. Could we take a break here, talk some stuff here, and they'll be our judges.
That's right.
For what we're doing. And we're still looking. Hey, Shelley, that may be Mark on the phone. You never know. We're looking for Mark to call us and come in, Mark Salazar. And he is another participant in your research, in your history, because his dad was big in this, and his dad wrote stuff down.
Right.
Which has helped you a lot in writing this book.
Yeah, well, Gabriel Salazar actually wrote his own personal memoirs that Mark ended up sharing with me.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
To be able to tell the story with his voice and in his words was incredible. One of the other men was Rafael Torres from El Paso also.
We'll hear more about this. We're going to take a break. Mark apparently is at the front door. He's on his way in, so we'll deal with that shortly. But we need to do trivia.
Yes, we do.
Which is about this book.
That's right, and about these men.
Because we have Dave Gutierrez here, and we have Albert Rivas. Mark Salazar will be joining us shortly. What is the trivia for hour one?
Well, the first question is, who is Chapin High School named for?
Oh, my God.
How hard is this one? And what was Ramon Gutierrez's nickname?
Oh, I think I know this.
We just talked about that
one. I read the
one.
Book, too. It's
yes.
also a book. And there's a book signing today at Pepe's, 6761 Donovan out there. And you've got another one later in the day at...
The Wine Attitude.
Oh,
yeah. Why not?
Rick Barassas.
Why not? Why not?
Which is perfect because he sells Italian wine. So
he's good. You know him. If you
yes.
know him, you know somebody.
He's a sweet guy, yeah.
Indeed. All right. We got trivia questions for the audience. They got to get the answer right.
That's right. If they call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
What's the question?
Oh, again, is who is Chapin High School named for? And what was Ramon Gutierrez's nickname?
544 what?
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using our intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-700-3515. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-3515. That's 1-800-700-3515. 1-800-700-3515.
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking about the book Patriots from the Barrio. We'll get back to those details in a minute, but we have some trivia.
That's
from
right.
that.
We have some trivia.
What do you got there?
Well, the first question was, who is Chapin High School named for? And the second question, what was Ramon Gutierrez's nickname?
Shelley, I need the caller number one. Who's the caller, Hercegio? Somebody show me caller number one. It's Carlos. Carlos, got you on the radio. Good morning. How's it going?
Everybody there.
Hey, good morning,
yes, I
Carlos.
I think I know the answer as far as the school named for was, I think I heard a captain or admiral in the Second World War.
You got to have a name on it.
And the nickname is Sancudo.
And what was the man's name?
Chapin?
Yeah! We already told you what his name was, right?
Yes.
And you had another part of that question, Shell? I mean,
he actually had both. He answered both.
Oh, my God. So what are we going to do now? We'll have to make up a question for the next
one. For the second one, yeah.
All right, so that was Carlos. Carlos, what would you like to have here? We got the DVDs. We've got the Pepe's. Pepe's.
DVD.
DVD. Okay. All right. Sell him one out of the, this.
Oh,
pretty.
My gosh.
Are you into ghost videos at all? Because that'll tell you stuff you might not want to know.
Hey, Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you. I think a long time ago, I just got back from Denver. Anyways, did I hear you say that you went to Bassett Intermediate?
Yeah, I did. So did Mark did too. Mark Salazar's now here.
I did too. I went over there 66, 67.
Oh, I survived a little earlier than that, but yeah, I was
really?
In 60, 61 somewhere.
Was Mr. Fisher there? Still?
Yeah, Mr. Fisher, Mr. Who was Mr.
Farquhar.
Farquhar.
Yes. And don't get that name wrong.
Yes.
Mr. Farquhar to you, buddy. Yeah, I remember that.
I had Miss Baggett, Miss Bearden.
Hey,
yeah.
Look, we survived, all right? Hey, let's get you a DVD here, okay. Carlos. Thank you for calling up, but we got a DVD for you.
Thanks a lot, Jackson. Yes,
all right, hold on.
Hold on.
In fact, I'll tell you what, Shelley will get on the line and tell you how to pick a DVD, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot, Jackson.
Thank you very much. Pick a DVD, Shelley, with this gentleman here, right, if you don't mind, Carlos. Let's go down to Gloria. Are we out of questions?
Yeah, we're out of questions because he got the second one was what was Ramon Gutierrez's nickname?
I didn't hear it, so let's ask the next one here. All right, let's go to Gloria. Gloria, got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
We think we have one question left from that mess.
Which was, who was Ramon Gutierrez's nickname? What was there you go.
So, and what's that in English for us who don't know your language? Of course.
Sergio tells me.
I knew what it was, Sergio. All right, well, you got that, Gloria. And we got what left?
Do you want a DVD or did you want the $20 gift certificate to Pepe's?
I'd like a DVD, the Waco Tank.
This one's Waco Tank, Shelley. The guy on hold gets a DVD from something that's left. In fact, pass that out. And, oh, no, we got a third caller here.
Well,
you ready? All right, Gloria, thank you for doing that. Anything else on your mind this morning?
Just wanted to tell you that I enjoy your show every Saturday.
Thank you kindly.
We appreciate you.
Take care.
Well, thank you. Hold on. No, don't go away. Shelley, tell you to pick this up, all right?
Okay.
That was Gloria. Now, the third caller is Lou. Is that what I have here? Let's go to Lou. Lou, good morning. You're on the radio?
Yes, good morning.
We are out of questions for this hour. However, would you like to ask us a question? And if it's any good, we'll give you something.
Yes, I would. I would like to find out who Anson Mills was.
Oh, my God.
Anson Mills.
That's not a World War II question.
I know
but
that
But Melissa
one,
Sargent knows the answer.
Anson Mills was an early pioneer of El Paso, and he platted the city of El Paso.
He did.
Okay.
He was also a famous guy. He went on to make a lot of money on an ammunition belt.
That's right.
Having nothing to do with El Paso.
But that ammunition belt is used today, and probably these gentlemen carried very similar on their waists in World War II.
He made enough money on that to come back and buy property in El Paso.
That's right.
There's your Anson
Mills
story.
But does he get something?
He gets a DVD.
We'll get you a DVD.
Lou, hold on here. We'll get you a DVD. Shelley, he'll tell you how to pick it out, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, sir, not at the moment.
Thank you a lot.
Thanks for
Shelley,
listening.
Shelley, one more DVD, line 3. We got to take a break, come back, and do this again.
544-5876.
Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards Program. Start saving on your very first fill and continue to save on every fill every day. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation, Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all. plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text SCHOOL to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text SCHOOL to 35517. That's SCHOOL to 35517.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hi, a note from Bernie Sargent on behalf of Keystone Heritage Park, the El Paso County Historical Commission, the El Paso History Alliance, and the entire preservation community. They're extending an invitation to attend and share their projects on May the 5th, 9 to 3. Now, what they're doing, they are, Oh, I see we have a caller that we need to talk about over here. All right, thank you. But what they're doing out at Keystone, Preservation Month is a big thing for the city of El Paso. And so what Bernie is going to do is have everybody come out there, do sort of an orientation. Is that what we're doing here, basically?
What it is it's Preservation Day, and we've got Keystone open for everybody, and we're looking for people like to come out and set up and talk about their preservation program out there, as well as we're going to invite the public out to visit Keystone Heritage Park, which has got a 4,500-year-old archaeological site, as well as it's on the historic Camino Real, and we're just going to have a great day out there. It's going to be free to the public, and just come out and visit the park and have a good time.
Call up Bernie, 581-7920, if you want to get more involved in that. What do you got? You got something else going on.
Well, we got things going on April 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of History. You've got Crafting from the Collection, Horseshoe Nail Key Rings. And the fee is $15 for members, $19 for non-members. And to confirm your space, please call us no later than April, not us, but the museum, April 24th. And that event is from, I already said, 6:30 p.m. And then April 28th at 2 p.m., they're going to have the International Day of Dance. Enjoy this program free of charge, and that'll be from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And all this is going at the El Paso Museum of History, and you can go to the website at history.elpasotex.gov or call them at 212-0320.
A lot of history going on here. We got more people to talk to today. And we do still have in the studio Dave Gutierrez, the author of the book Patriots from the Barrio. We have Albert Rivas, whose father was also involved directly in the combat and in the training of Company
training.
E.
You're right.
And then we got a third guy that did show up. His name is Mark Salazar. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And your dad was also involved in this. What did he... the way, there's a good caller on hold. Stay there. Don't go away. Mm-hmm. But Mark, what did your dad do in this unit?
Yes, my dad was also one of the first members. He trained with the National Guard, and he got into the Company E, and, you know, he went to Africa and went to Italy, got wounded in Italy, and he did come back home. Did make it back home.
And one of the main things he did, apparently, Mark, was to mm-hmm. write it down.
Yeah, he wrote a few memoirs. Uh-huh. Not a lot, but some good little stories that he told. Yeah.
Well, you turned those over to Dave, didn't you?
I sure did, and Dave incorporated a lot of it into his book. And
you needed his stuff, didn't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. it's invaluable information to have somebody's own words in what his experiences were.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the big things in how I was able to get in touch with Mark and the Carrillo family, which you will hear from later, is the genealogy played a huge role in all of this.
Oh.
Because it was genealogy research that really helped me put together these stories. And I was lucky enough to connect with over 50 different families of the men that served in this very unique and historical U.S. Army unit.
Well, it was your what relative of it was your you your dad? No, it wasn't your dad. It was your uncle.
It was my cousin.
Your cousin. So your cousin started you on this whole subject of getting involved in this.
Right, and I just wanted to put his biography together. And through research, I realized that this was an all-Mexican-American unit. And at that point, the entire focus of the story shifted from just telling one man's story to all of the men that
served in
this unit.
It's an ethnicity thing that the Army went with, apparently. Yeah. Did it work out okay?
Well, there were a lot of sacrifices, let me just say that. Just a lot of sacrifices and... But like you were talking earlier, it took a long time to start recognizing Company E. Thanks to Joe Olvera, who was one of the first writers in the Herald Post that started writing a few stories about Company E, a little bit more interest was starting to generate. And my dad was really, really glad to start seeing that because they were very disappointed that they weren't recognized for a long, long time.
Yeah.
We have another story coming in by phone. We got you on the air. And could you say your name, please? I have a J-U-M-E. Who is that?
This is Jaime.
Jaime.
I'm sorry. I can understand Jaime when it's spelled correctly, but it's not spelled correctly.
Jaime.
Jaime, what is your story here about this book?
Oh, you know, I just recently, not recently, but I've known of my grandfather. He served in Company E. His name was Paul Ray, Jr., and he ended up serving 36 years in the Army, made it to Command Sergeant Major. And he retired from the Army and actually is buried at Fort Bliss Cemetery right now.
Do you have one of these books?
I haven't, I got stories from my grandfather, you know, here and there. But he really didn't, he was a real humble man, didn't want to talk about much.
But do you have a book today, Patriots from the Barrio? Do you have that book?
No, I haven't read it yet, and that's what I'm actually wanting to do. I'm starting to get more and, you know, trying to research more about my grandfather, and this is a great way for me to you know, research some of the history that he went through during the war, because he was my hero growing up.
Jaime, today's your day. If you want to meet the author and some of the families that were also involved in this, the descendants of the guys in Company E, today's your day. Go out to Pepe's
at
12:30 today. 6761
yes,
Donovan. Great food.
I will do that.
You can buy a book. You have books. I saw
will.
It.
Yes.
Dave bought some books.
You can meet the author. And are you other gentlemen going also?
I won't be able to go to
Mark's
the wine.
Not make it, but.
I'll go to the wine thing and later.
Okay. See, Mark can go to the other one.
That's also, you can also go to the Wine Attitudes, which is on Mesa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Jaime, thank you very much for sharing your story. Yeah. Maybe we'll meet you
thank
this
you.
Afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. You take her easy. All right, we got another call. This one's Anita. Anita, good morning. What is your connection?
Good morning. I am Mark Salazar's aunt.
Ah, there we go. The whole family's now here. So what are your thoughts briefly on this?
I want to remind him that his dad played the trumpet and used to play taps at all the funerals for servicemen. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's your story?
Mm-hmm. That's my story.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing it. All right. Thanks a lot. And join us at Pepe's today. Mark can't make it, but we'll invite you.
And that story is in the book.
Thank you.
You have a good day. It's Same a great you. Program, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
All right, now how did we get on to this program? You got Dave Gutierrez. You're sitting at your house in California, I'm guessing, watching TV. Is that what happened?
Well, a big part of this was in I'm trying to remember the year, 2007. Ken Burns did a PBS 14-hour miniseries World War II.
And you're sitting there watching it. And you're waiting for this story.
And I'm waiting for all of our stories, really. And there was zero about Hispanic contributions to World War II. And, well, that really lit a fire under me to try to do something about it. And this is one thing that I think that, you know, Ken Burns, and I'm not going to defend Ken Burns, but where does Ken Burns get the stories from if we don't have the stories out there? And I think as Latinos, we need to look in the mirror and say, what are we doing to record and document our own history? And this is one great example of this, because this is a story that took place over 70 years ago in World War II. And we're just now learning about our Mexican-American World War II unit.
Well, you looked in the mirror and yelled at the guy, and he did something about it. He wrote this book, Patriots from the Barrio. Now, just briefly, I want to talk to these other guys for a second, but just briefly, what's this movie business you're talking about?
Okay, well, in, let's see, I'm trying to remember, in July, I received an email. July of 2017, I received an email from someone who was interested in buying the film rights to the book. I self-published the book in 2014. From 2014 to 2017, I was just trying to get the story out there. I would write articles for magazines and online. And Wilmer Valderrama, the actor-producer in Hollywood, actually, someone showed him an article that I wrote that appeared online. And he became very interested in the story. And the next thing you know it, I was in Hollywood having a meeting with Wilmer Valderrama on obtaining the film rights to the story.
Has that been done?
Absolutely. In September, his production company, WV Enterprises, has obtained the film rights to the book. And now what Wilmer is looking to do, and he is leaning towards, is to do an actual 6 to 8 part series on the book, because he doesn't feel that 2 hours is enough,
no.
A 2 hour film.
No.
And
way.
As the writer, I can appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so we can squeeze this history in.
Let's go for 15, whatever. Well, I was just curious how that happened, because you're watching TV and you didn't see the story you thought they were going to tell.
Mm.
Interesting stuff. All right, either Albert or Mark, what stories about your family do we need to know here? Because this is a chance to hear them.
Well, like I said, my father didn't go overseas, but he would always, when we sit down and watch a World War II movie, and we, you know, on TV, he'd always tell me, "Boy, I'm really lucky I didn't go overseas, because I probably wouldn't have come back." And that was, you know, really true for so many of them. And I think one thing that needs to be said is that sometimes left out of all the war stories is the fact that many of these men were cohesive as a group even before they went to World War II. These were my father and some of the other men, Nacho Roseman, Anke Ponce, they knew each other since kindergarten. And they went to school, they lived in the same neighborhood. And by the way, it wasn't all just South El Paso, actually. Many of them lived in the neighborhood called the plot called East El Paso, which is around Concordia Cemetery, and many of the houses are still there. My father would still point out that's where Nacho Roseman lived.
And you said you went to Burgess, you didn't go to Bowie.
We moved to the east side further.
Yeah.
But they lived, many of them lived from that neighborhood, knew each other as growing up, and went into the Army, into the National Guard together.
As a group.
As a group, and then, of course, ended up in Company E. And when they came back from battle, they formed the Company E Club for many years, which I remember growing up, and I think Alex Jr. does too. They would throw dances every monthly dances to the big band music, even bringing the Glenn Miller Orchestra one time back in the 70s.
Oh,
I remember
wow.
that at the Civic Center
Interesting
as
stuff.
A fundraiser. But so there was this cohesion, you know, with this group
sure.
that went actually preceded the war and through the war and after the war.
And I try to really touch on that in the book. Because they knew each other since they were, like you said, in grade school.
Yeah.
And it made them form a very unique bond. And I think it's one of the most unique bonds for humans, really, is for men that have served in battle together.
Well, let's ask the other guys here. I mean, Mark, we don't have you very long, and here you are. What stories about your dad should we know about?
Well, you know, something I like to mention is that, you know, he's, you know, I like to call him Mr. El Paso, because he lived on El Paso Street. He grew up on El Paso Street. He was born in El Paso. You know, he trained right here by El Paso High.
Yeah.
He went to El Paso High, graduated from El Paso High. There were a lot of student people from Bowie and Jeff, but my dad was from El Paso High. But, you know, he knew all these people. They were friends. And you know, I like to think, you know, every time I'm driving by that area there, El Paso High, UTEP, all these hills and stuff, you know, there he talked about how they trained with Captain Chapin, right? You know, just going up and down those hills was a hellacious training, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when I drive those things, you know, I just think, God, you know, this is some area here that really prepared them for Italy. you know, that mountainous region in Italy that they were always, you know, fighting the Germans that were up on the hills, you know, on,
yeah,
you know, Mount Rotondo, Mount, you know, all those places. It was just a terrible position that they had to go through, you know. And my dad came back with, you know, messed up knees and messed up feet, but, you know, he had flat feet and he wasn't going to be admitted into the army, but they did admit him. And so, you know, he came back. He suffered, his legs suffered a lot in later years. He had to have his knees replaced.
Oh, my.
But I
bet he was proud of you, what you accomplished.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah, he was a fantastic father. You know, I couldn't have had a better, more loving father and family man. You know, he got my two sisters and my other brother, and it was his second marriage. That was my stepmother for most of my life, because my mother died in 1953. You know, so at age two, I hardly knew her.
Yeah.
But I was raised pretty much by my stepmother.
You've turned into a rabble rouser for good causes.
Yeah,
I happen to know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I say, your parents never necessarily your father never talked about the war per se, but I think what they learned in being in the military and their experiences, they shared with you through your upbringing.
Yes.
You know, the strength.
I think a lot of them never spoke. I know that about the war. I know that my friend, whose father was Angel Ponce, who was a cook for Company E in Italy, I was asking him recently what, you know, some story. He said his father never really spoke. And actually, Angel would say, I guess there was like this code among them not to brag, really, because Angel would tell me, personally told me one time, like, you know, I don't think anyone should be bragging about, you know, which machine gun nest they took out or anything, because we were all over there and we all did our part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like they say, everyone that goes over there signs a blank check up to the amount up to and including their life.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was a code that they all lived by. So I congratulate Dave for getting all those stories out of the ones who he could.
That's a good statement. They sign a blank check, which is really what they do.
And they were ever thankful for coming back, for making it back. You know, their brothers that are still buried over there, and you know, they came back. They celebrated life. They celebrated their families. You know, they celebrated being able to continue back home. And they hated war. They hated war. They learned a lot from it. They knew the tragedies, the casualties, the terrible, terrible things that happened. But they were glad to serve their country. They were proud. They were patriots.
Apparently they got good at it.
Yeah.
Melissa, you were reading a quote earlier. Do you still have that from Gabriel?
Yes. That was when I was doing some research on this, your father.
Yeah.
The quote that he said, they asked him, is that PSC Gabriel Salazar of El Paso described why he joined the Texas National Guard. He says, I know only that what I wanted to belong to was a group of young men whose lives were similar to mine. And I knew I could never find such an unpredictable, could not find such unpredictable experiences at home. And, you know, he was describing the scenes at Alta Villa near Salerno. And he just kind of went, I remember marching up the winding roads towards Alta Villa. He says he could smell, you know, and it went on and on. But, I mean, just those first two lines explaining the experiences.
Yes.
Well, again, that became a basis of this book in some ways.
Absolutely. And throughout the book, you'll hear Gabriel Salazar's words.
Oh, yeah.
Rafael Torres, who sent his granddaughter from Marion, Iowa, Sonia Hillman, sent me 200 pages of Rafael Torres's personal memoirs.
Oh, boy. So that's what got you into
it. And Rafael Torres was the squad leader for my cousin Ramon Gutierrez.
Okay.
So I had in detail when Ramon arrives at Company E, and it was all through Rafael Torres's words.
Today's the day you can get your copy of this book, Patriots from the Barrio, the story of Company E, 141st Infantry. But today, out at Pepe's. come meet Dave and whoever can make it out there. Most of you will make it out there if you want to talk to some of these folks, or just show up if your family was involved. There's a reunion forming at Pepe's today.
That's right.
And get a book or not, but come out and say hello to these guys. 6761 Donovan out there today. Is Pepe warned enough that we're coming? I think I told him early in the week. All right, taking a break here one more time for this hour, and we're going to continue this next hour talking about this book. The fact that this is the only all-Mexican-American unit in World War II Army is kind of unusual. Dave Gutierrez figured this out. The rest of these people in here had family involved. An interesting story. I'm getting chills thinking about it. We should take a break. Shall we do that?
I think we should do that.
Call us up.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
Moment. iHeartRadio's hardworking team of music lovers has hand-curated thousands of playlists to fit any mood or activity, and now we're sharing them with you. Need to chill? There's a playlist for that. Need that hairband vibe? There's a free playlist for that. Thousands of playlists perfect for whatever life throws your way. Try it now. iHeartRadio. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. iHeartRadio.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl,
Santa Barbara Mission.
We have the Mission Trail. Did you know that?
The original
Camino Real is right here in El Paso. And on Sunday, all day, the El Paso Mission Trail Association, they're holding a Mission Trail recreation of the first Thanksgiving. They're going to do it in Socorro, Texas this time.
I know.
A full program of history and entertainment at the Socorro Mission. Go down there for all day. They're starting early in the morning doing stuff down by the river. And then all day long, reenactments, educational exhibits, and they have some food down there. The church has turned this into a fundraiser. That didn't take long. Hey, that's a cool thing. Let's have a Catholic Church fundraiser. But this is a very good cause, and it's the Mission Trail Association. They're going to reenact the birth of the American Southwest, and that's a biggie down there. Also at the same time on Sunday, another thing you can go to is Six Guns and Shady Ladies. I happen to know one of those shady ladies personally.
Sitting here today.
There you are.
That's right.
And this Sunday from noon until 6, old-fashioned picnic, historic Manhattan Heights at Memorial Park. Follow the gunfire to Six Guns and Shady Ladies, performing around 3 o'clock, food, music, other great things happening. Bring the whole family, and that's just happening mañana.
That's right. We're going to have a good time out there today. And tonight, cacti, lizards, and things that creep in the night. Tonight from 6 to 9 p.m., Dr. Paul Hyder will lead this fun evening event, learn about the things that come out at night in the desert. Oh, my. So if you're interested in that, you can call 915-244-5322 for more information. And I believe that's going to be at the Tom Mays Park. But also, if you went to the Celebration of Our Mountains website, which is the CELEBMTNS, .org
just
website,
Google it.
Just Google it. You can find out about all their great hikes and this one tonight.
It's good stuff going. All right, we got this hour almost complete. We have to pick a Pepe's. Senor, Dave Gutierrez, pick a special at Pepe's today. And what makes this a difference is whatever number they charge on there, today it's $6.
Wow, how about that? How about that? So well, I'm a big Chile Verde person. I'm a big chile verde person, so I'm going to go with the green chile cheese enchiladas.
Okay, there's your special.
No, wait a minute. He's from California, so he might not be able to handle our chile verde.
Well, we'll tell Pepe to tone it down because he's got the high test. If you want the high test, tell Pepe. You may or may not be able to walk out of there. I don't know.
I'm from California, so I can say that.
Well, so it goes. Well, we got Mark Salazar here for this hour and also Albert Rivas. And, gentlemen, just as we lose you for the hour, tell us any last thoughts on this whole thing. The fact that this turned into a book, the fact that it's heading for a movie, the fact that your dad's name is going to be up on the screen, Mark Salazar, at some point.
Yeah.
That's way cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot happening, I guess, finally, maybe too late, but it's never too late.
Yeah.
And there's Dave's book. There's also another book called, I forget, Arnulfo's book. Also about
a second one about
a
this.
Second
yes.
one about
yes.
There's the monument and possibility of it being moved. They were actually planning another bigger monument around the Chamizal area, mm-hmm. and there's talk about them renaming the 375 Loop, Company E
wow.
Memorial Highway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that's moving along.
Well, Chapin got the high school. You might as well get a highway.
And then you have Chapin High School with all the names of all Company E and the rotunda. So if you're ever out there, go out there. I think the principal is really good about letting people
see the
rotunda.
Well, that's impressive. You had a book signing out there,
we
Dave,
did,
last
yeah,
time.
We did, yeah.
That's
yeah,
fabulous little lobby they cooked up out there.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was appropriate that our very first book signing was at Chapin High,
yeah,
under the names of all of the men that served under this.
Oh, you're getting kind of symbolic in your old age, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're not that old. So as far as it goes. All right. Do we have time for a call here? One more caller? Carlos got you on the radio. Carlos, go ahead. What's up?
Yes, sorry to get me off the subject, but Jackson, didn't I heard that Stephen Nicks from Fleetwood Mac went to Bassett School, too?
She went to Crockett. I know she went to Crockett. Stevie Nicks, was it Bassett?
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Bassett or Crockett.
Crockett. Thank you for calling. Talk to you again. Come out to the book signing today and buy a book, dude. All right. We're almost out of time for this hour. But second hour, we're going to get into more what the combat was about.
Mm-hmm.
How these guys got to where they went, and it was not pretty. And we're talking the Rapido River was a mess for this group.
Yeah.
Right. And these were highly trained people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point you were making here, is that they went through training and training and training and training. So whoever they were up against mm-hmm. got some of the hardest trained people, and they were put in bad positions. I think that's what happened.
And that's one of the great things about Dave's book is the detail he goes into describing those battle situations. You know, you just can't put the book down sometimes, you know, with all the emotions and the action that's going on in there. You know, I just can't wait until that comes out in the movie.
It's going to be interesting. That's Mark Salazar, right?
My dad's training record from the Army states he was a operator of a heavy machine gun in using tactics to use against the Japanese and the German Army.
Right.
That's what it says officially.
As I was explaining,
that's Albert Rivas.
And sure. as I was explaining a little bit more detail about Alex Rivas, he was one of only two sergeants who was instructing U.S. Army officers in enemy tactics.
A lot come out of this. The book's going to be interesting if you haven't read it. Today you got Pepe's. And you have another book signing in the afternoon.
Yes, and that'll be at the Wine Attitude on North Mesa.
At what time?
That'll start at 5:30.
All right, we're going to come back next hour, talk about this more. Mark, thank you for coming in here.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis, thank you. Stick
you
around.
Thank you very
And we'll
much.
See you at
thank
Pepe's
you.
For sure. Everybody yeah. else, next hour?
Next hour, we'll be here.
See you then. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Sitting Bull Falls. The falls are fed by springs located in the canyon above. Standing on top, feeling the mist of the crystal clear water on your face, you can feel the heat of summer disappearing with the water into the rocks below. Like our Harleys, it just keeps on rolling. How lucky we are to live in a place where we can go on adventures like these every weekend. And how lucky you are that your adventure can start just by clicking on BarnettHarley.com or by seeing us at Barnett Harley Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride that just keeps on rolling.
Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable